Welcome to the Building BN podcast, where we take an inside look at Bloomington Normal economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners. Hosted by your BN EDC.
Okay, so on today's Building BN podcast, we would like to welcome our ISU fellow, Randall Demet Schweigert, and our business retention and expansion manager, that's always a mouthful, Casey. Can you say hello, Casey?
Hello.
Just so everybody knows that we're on here for today's podcast. So before we get into your role as a fellow, we're going to learn a little bit more about you. So if you could give us a little bit of a history and a background about who you are and how you came to Illinois, and more specifically Bloomington Normal, and sort of what your field of study is, and then we'll go from there.
Certainly. And you nailed the name pronunciation.
Oh, I was very nervous about that. Thank you.
So I'm Randall. I'm from a small town in northern New Mexico called Las Vegas, not to be confused with Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a town of around 12,000 people, pretty small. It's very much an old Western style. If you have ever watched No Country for Old Men, that's filmed there.
Okay.
True Grit. A lot of old Western-y films are shot out there. Yeah, so from there, I went to University of New Mexico to study economics and political science. And a great thing about growing up in New Mexico is I had the opportunity to learn Spanish as the first language to read and write. So that opened up a lot of doors and opportunities for me to travel to Latin America and study economic development when I was at University of New Mexico.
So you're bilingual?
I am bilingual.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, super cool.
I'm like, don't put me on the spot. I never know what to say when someone tells me, hey, say something in Spanish.
It's like you completely blank out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so you were able to use that in some of your other ventures on early in life then?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I met some people when I was traveling in Latin America that had done Peace Corps. And I talked to them about their experience because I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do after I graduated from UNM, but I knew I wanted to continue with economic development and see the world and give back to communities. So I applied to Peace Corps and I went to Panama for 2 years initially to be an agriculture volunteer, agribusiness more, and then I loved it so much I extended a third year to stay in Panama, and I was kind of their rural regional leader that I was in charge of a certain province in Panama that I would oversee other volunteers, make sure that they're doing okay, no problems in their community, and then I would also seek out new communities to bring in future volunteers. So meeting with the officials and heads of those communities and building those relationships and bringing in hopefully new volunteers in the future. And after that, I went to DC to work for Peace Corps headquarters to see how the sausage is made. And I helped with volunteers doing their medical clearance, or
okay,
applicants do their medical clearance. And I worked there for about 3.5 years, but I kind of felt like I wasn't really applying my economics degree. And so when the pandemic hit, I thought it was a great opportunity to start thinking about getting my master's and pursuing my education a little bit more. And the great thing about being a returned Peace Corps volunteer is there's a lot of universities around the U.S. that offer you stipends or tuition help to receive your master's in higher education, and that's how I found ISU and the Stevenson Center. They give you a full tuition waiver for 2 years and then help you get your master's degree. So that's how I ended up here in Bloomington Normal.
So I have to ask, what were some of your favorite memories coming from Panama that you had during your time down there?
My favorite.
'Cause that's a very unique experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So many unique things. It was just beautiful. I lived on the side of a mountain, and I would hike into my community. It'd take me an hour and a half to hike in, but it was beautiful views. You made it worth it. Yeah, and just some of the funny things that my community members would say, too, that I just... well, I'll give you an example. So I was in an indigenous community, and I had an indigenous name, and they had to do a whole naming ceremony. And normally they name you after someone that's prominent in the community or just like a founding member of the community. And they went around and they tossed some names out there. And this is, by the way, like the entire community, all 350 people are there to help name me. And someone said, Ona, and everyone's like, yeah, let's name her that. And I heard some chuckles too. And I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? I thought maybe it's a name of a strong woman that used to live there or something. And later on, I asked my host dad, I'm like, why was everyone laughing when they named me Ona? And he's like, well, it means malnourished bird. So, and he's like, but with the love and the care of the community, you'll grow up into a big, strong bird.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they named me Ona, malnourished bird.
Ona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good. We'll have to keep that in mind around the office.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Ona. Okay, that's mm-hmm. that's very cool.
But I mean, I made my mark at the end of my 2 years, my program manager of Peace Corps went in and asked if they had a preference for the next volunteer, would they want a female or a male? And they're like, we want a female because females are strong and they're hard workers.
They turned into strong birds.
Turned into strong birds, yeah. And now I'm a strong red bird.
Okay. Oh. Here, you know.
That was so smooth.
Patrick's going to like that connection. That's mm-hmm. a smooth connection right there. Well, I think we have learned quite a few things and very interesting things about you, but I'm sure you have a couple more unique personal facts that you'd like to share.
All right. I was thinking about this the other night.
I just want to say that, you know, she says she lived on the side of a mountain in Panama, and I feel like a lot of our listeners are going to think that she was like living in a Costa Rican resort or something like that. What amenities did this mountainside resort have?
Oh, dear. No running water, no electricity, had dirt floors, and I had to go bathe in the river, wash my clothes in the river. It was the experience that I was hoping for to go to Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. Very rural, very out there.
Now, is that common with the Peace Corps that it's... That is going to be your experience, or is it different depending on where you go?
I think it varies country to country, and I think some people think of Panama as, you know, when you fly into Panama City, it looks like a mini Miami, and why do they need volunteers here? But when you really get out there into the rural communities, that's where you need people and agriculture volunteers and hygiene volunteers and water, but I've heard some other countries have running water and different amenities for volunteers.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, when I was a volunteer in Ukraine, we had some people call it posh corps because we had really good internet.
She's shaking her head like she knows what that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not going to say that wasn't easier, but also we had -50 winters that you had to walk everywhere, so, you know, it's a trade-off.
Yikes. Did your toothpaste freeze? I heard that happens.
We had to do our laundry in the bathtub, and so then go hang it outside. So if you hung it outside in the winter, it was just a solid sheet.
Yeah.
So you had to plan your laundry about a week ahead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Lots of very interesting experiences, I think, can come out of that. And I love hearing it. I definitely think some of our listeners, we don't usually get some of these unique stories coming on our podcast. But, yeah, do you have anything other information you want to share about yourself?
Trying to think. Well, I play the saxophone. I've played it since the fifth grade. I can read music very well. I can't really jam out. I wish I could.
But see, had I known that, we would have had you bring the saxophone in for a solo.
I mean, that's why I didn't tell you before today.
It's not too late. We can film a commercial that I can insert in between this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think on a scale of 1 to Kenny G, I don't even know.
Oh, a scale of 1 to Kenny G.
I'm a Lisa Simpson, maybe. Barely. She's had more practice than me.
Well, very cool. Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. I love learning a little bit more about your background and how you came to be an Ona to a Redbird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping that in mind. And I think that kind of takes us into the next part of our conversation, is a little bit more of your role here at the BNEDC and essentially what does it mean to be an ISU Stevenson Center Fellow? And what is that? Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and what you plan to do here?
Yeah, well, I've been here for, this is technically my third week, but
like 7 days.
7 days.
Mm-hmm. 7 work days.
Yeah,
okay.
So still figuring.
So you have everything figured out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the ISU Stevenson Center, a really great place, and they promote community and economic development in the US and abroad. The center really cultivates leaders in public service through a combination of your coursework and professional practice, which is what I'm in right now, and also community collaboration. So we're able to collaborate with different organizations while we're taking our classes as well. And yeah, like I mentioned before, they offer tuition waiver for 2 years, graduate assistantships when you're taking your coursework, and also just professional practice and other connections.
Experiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, typically the Stevenson Center, as an alum.
Because you were a fellow too, correct,
correct.
Casey?
Yep.
Okay.
Typically they have anywhere from 9 to 12 students per cohort year. So every year they get a new batch, and those span 5 different subjects. So you can have your major be either political science, applied economics like Randall, sociology, kinesiology, or anthropology. But you all take together mixed courses in community and economic development as well. So you really get to bounce experiences off each other, and everyone kind of brings their own expertise to the program. I think that's what makes it really interesting. And then grad school is hard enough as it is, so what attracted me personally to the program is that you kind of have a built-in cohort or built-in new group of friends who are all have gone through similar experiences, because to be accepted to the Stevenson Center, you typically need to be an AmeriCorps or Peace Corps alumni to get into the program. And so that way, you kind of, even if you don't know anybody, like when you move, like I did to Norman, Illinois, you just knew that there were some other like-minded people that were going to be with you through the program. So that was very helpful. But they've been doing it for 27 years now,
something like that.
So, wow.
Yeah.
They've churned out a lot of really interesting alums, and I hope that you're the next most interesting one.
Well, we'll see.
And so I think you're with us for about a 9-month period, is that correct?
11 months.
11 yeah. months. So almost mm-hmm. a year then.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Casey probably has a lot of goals in mind to utilize you and all of your skills and sort of strengths that you can bring to the table. So Casey, you want to talk a little bit about what you plan to work with Randall and do for the community?
Sure. Now, of course, as we know, over the last 2 years, any of this is subject to change, because all of the things that...
Yes, don't hold us to this.
Right.
We would like to preface that and mm-hmm. say these are goals that we would like to accomplish.
Sure. Something I think that, you know, we have been lacking at the Bloomington Normal EDC is more rural outreach in general. My previous role with the Peoria Economic Development Council, I was the Director of Rural Outreach and Development, and some of the projects we did there, I think we can replicate really well here in McLean County. And so one of the reasons that we interviewed and selected Randall for this position out of the other applicants is that I felt she had that kind of go-getter mentality that you're gonna need to work with rural communities, where, you know, the mayor might not be the person who makes the decisions. It might be the kind of part-time water billing clerk or somebody, right? And, you know, if these rural communities don't have their properties in LOIS or other property databases, they can't even try to get development. And so, but it takes a lot of work on our end to make sure that they understand that. Reaching out to, I think we have 13 rural incorporated communities in McLean County, and making sure that, you know, they're able to play and they understand how that process works. So that'll probably be Randall's major project. But I want her to learn kind of from all of us. So I want her to learn marketing from you. I want her to learn commercial real estate from Nick, business retention with me. And, you know, we just hope that the experience for her is worthwhile, and that she kind of understands what economic development is. So if she wants to get into the industry, she'll have a really good leg to stand on.
That's a good description for that. And yeah, I think we're excited to have you here. It's always, there's not a lot of us here at the EDC. So when we get a new face in, it's very exciting, you know, to work with you. And I know we've enjoyed getting to know you over the past 7 days that you've been here. It feels so much longer than that by this point.
Yeah, it feels like 2 months.
Yeah, it does for some reason. And I guess in those 7 days, what is just some interesting tidbits that you've learned so far, you know, in the realm of either economic development or about the BNEDC as well? Because I know Patrick's been, and Casey's been having you at a lot of different meetings and to get exposure, you know, about some of the conversations we're having here every single day. So anything interesting you've learned so far?
Wow, yeah. It's just been a fire hose of information for sure. And I think what I've realized, and I've kind of thought this throughout my studies too, is that economics is a part of life that you can't get away from. And it's
going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in every part of your life and how you make decisions. And there's nothing specific that stands out to me of what I've learned. I'm just trying to get my footing and understand everything. There's a lot of like relationship building and understanding the community and what they need, and understanding that it's not always bringing in new businesses, but it's also working within the community and building out from there.
Do you have anything to add to that, Casey?
I was going to say that, you know, when I got into this industry, what struck me is, you know, I really thought it was going to be more science than art, but as I've kind of spent a couple years in the industry, it does seem to be more art than science at this point, right? And Randall's background with the numbers is really important. You have to know the numbers, but each community is so different that you need to learn what that community needs, who the players are, and how to actually make things go. And that's going to be a challenge, and a different challenge in each community where the numbers realistically are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just one point I want to kind of piggyback off of with what you said, Randall, is that I think a lot of times people forget that economic development is not always bigger, 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 build, build, build. It's a lot of keeping the great businesses that we already have here in the community. And I think that's a messaging that Casey does really well, you know, providing services and different assets and help and assistance that we can to businesses and programs that are already here. I think oftentimes people might think that we're just out here trying to bring as many businesses as we can to the community. And while that's great on one hand, you know, you have to just remember who's here, who needs help, and making sure we can keep them here for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. And you reminded me of one of the projects that Randall will probably be starting on soon. Is the state of Illinois has a new grant opportunity coming out for businesses which opened in 2020 or after, so couldn't have foreseen the pandemic coming and have COVID-related expenses, so meaning PPP or POS systems or outdoor dining, and who can prove that with receipts. And myself and Randall will be kind of hitting the pavement and making sure that everyone who needs help applying for that, because it is a state grant, so it's a little bit convoluted, is able to get that application in too. So that'll be a great way for her to not only get to know more of the community, but also hopefully endear herself to the community as well.
Well, definitely a lot of exciting stuff in the pipeline here at the BNEDC. And I think we're just going to go ahead and flip to a little bit more of some fun questions about your time in Bloomington Normal and some of your favorite things you like to experience here. So I guess my first question for you is, if you were either going to be recruiting a prospect or even bringing a family or friend member here, where would you take them? What would your perfect day in Bloomington Normal look like? So anywhere you want to go, name it.
Yeah, great question. I think calling back on me playing the saxophone, music's very important to me. So especially during the summer, if I'm going to have someone visiting, want to take advantage of the music series that's going on. Distill is great to go have a beer and listen to live music on Fridays and Saturdays. Mystic Kitchen is really good too, and I know they have live music on some days as well. Just get outside as well. I love the Constitution Trail and also Lake Bloomington.
Okay,
go paddleboarding there maybe. Yeah.
And it's not too far away from here.
Exactly.
That's kind of another, I feel like, hidden gem that not a lot of people here in town know that we have some of those great nature areas that are not very far from here and where you can kind of experience a whole other version of being active in Bloomington Normal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
So I think we can expect to see you have a solo act at Make Music Normal next year.
I think jazz up front.
Oh, and or jazz up front. We need a saxophone solo.
Well, you know, well, I'll have to go get my saxophone from my mom's house and start practicing.
Maybe we could have you and then our staff can do some karaoke at the same time, and that could be a wonderful and beautiful staff outing.
Oh, of course, yeah. Beautiful is the emphasis.
For the community's sake, I hope not.
Yeah, right? And so I think you named a couple of restaurants already in that, but what would you say would be like your go-to Bloomington Normal food item?
Food item.
Yes.
Well, they're only open on Saturdays. Martinelli's Bakery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
they were at the Twin City Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Very good bakery and big bakery items.
Yeah, and I would have to do a cronut from there.
Yes, because you can get that at the farmer's market, right?
Yeah.
That's up on the McLean County Square.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The History Museum Square. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and they change out their flavors, I think, once a month or so. So, you know.
You have a favorite flavor so far?
I have to go with maple bacon.
Okay.
I like the sweet and the salty.
If you ever feel the need to buy some of those and bring them back in the following Monday, we would not say no.
Yeah. All right. Good to know.
Yeah. That's very good. And probably not a business that maybe some people have heard of. So, yeah, great to shout out right there. And like I mentioned, they were at the Twin City Showcase. So, definitely check them out if you're looking for some great cronuts.
Mm-hmm.
Not a common theme here. Very cool. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up with the very last question for you. And if you've had some time to think about it, why does economic development matter? Why does it matter to you, or why should it matter to a community?
Very good question.
It's deep.
My
yeah,
God.
No, I know.
Very deep.
I thought about it a little bit, but I still need time. But what I'm thinking, again, yeah, economics is something that you can't get away from, and it's more than just numbers and money. It's about making people's lives the best that they can be and understanding the decisions that they make when they have different incentives and living with constraints as well. So economic development is important for communities to thrive and to be happy and to be sustainable as well.
It's very simply put, and I appreciate your answer with that, and I loved having both you and Casey on with us today, and I think our listeners definitely learned a little bit more about you. And Randall's sitting at our front desk area, so if you come and visit us, she's going to be the first thing you see now when you come in. And we are very happy to have you and excited to see all of the wonderful work that you will do over the course of almost a year.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here. Excited for the next 11 months.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Tune in next week as we continue to take an inside look at Bloomington Normal's economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners, and learn more about our BN Advantage.